11 this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. And just looking at this thing. I preached a funeral yesterday. Is anybody from the funeral here from yesterday? Anybody other than my daughter? She went with us. Anybody from the funeral? We had one lady get saved, but kind of hard crowd. Usually when you preach on heaven and hell and you hit things, it's kind of hard. They had these guys come, and you know, you think, what in the world are people thinking? But like I said this morning, Sunday school, when I was lost on my way to hell, we didn't have no hope of God. We had a funeral with my brother. I was cussing, drinking, carrying on, cursing God, all kinds of stuff. Just a wild, crazy thing. And I went to a lot of funerals before that. People got killed, got shot, and stuff like that. It was just a crazy, everybody was high as a kite, drinking, carrying on, acting crazy, fighting at a funeral, fighting. And just crazy stuff. And yesterday, the funeral wasn't that bad, but it was just, they had these guys playing these rock songs, and I thought that was kind of out of place. Did anybody, what was the name of the song? Somebody told me the name of the song. What was the name?
From Creed.
It was from Creed. And yeah, 6 foot below or something, 6 foot low. I couldn't understand anything they were saying. And I'm thinking, man, I figured we get them out of the way, get them to sing, and then we can move on. And then I had my daughter Becky sing, and that kind of brought the good spirit in there. But I had to preach after that mess. But I can preach. I can preach in a bar, man. It makes no difference. I can preach in a bar. You can be blasting or anything. I can preach it. I can do it. Lord, help me. I can do it. But preaching funerals, I want to see people saved. And I want to preach this morning. Are you a real Christian? Are you real? Are you a real Christian? In 2019, you ought to make up your mind, I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to be a part-time Christian. I want to be real. You know one thing, everybody in this room, you hate fakes, don't you? You don't like nobody to be a fake. And you don't like people that claim to be saved and be a fake. You know, I run into them all the time. I've had people come to church. I shake their hand, and they, oh, God bless you, preacher. That's the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. And they're shaking my hand. I said, oh, God bless you. And then I go by their house, and I hear some roaring going on inside. And then I hear cussing and fighting and arguing. And then they open the door and go, oh, hey, preacher, how you doing? I'm glad you came by to see us. And it's just a phony, man, just a bunch of phonies. You said, can a person get straight? Can they get right? Yes, they can. They can be real. And I want to be a real Christian in 2019. I hope you do. I want to be real. Now, not everybody bats 1,000. Not everybody's going to be, Christian to the top of the mark. I hope you are. What a great blessing that would be. But you know what? If you are, everybody, you're going to have the world hating you. You're going to have the brethren hating you. You know, when you're trying to do right, you're going to have even other Christians hate your guts for it. They're not going to like you when you're trying to do what's right. And then you got Christians that live in like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. And you would never know they were a Christian. You would never know it unless you asked them. And you say, are you saved? Well, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. Now, I hope when people see you, I hope they say, hey, that's a Christian. You know, I said people are saved, but they're not real Christians. When I say a Christian is Christ-like. A Christian is Christ-like. That's what the meaning is. Being saved is you're going to heaven, and you know you're going to heaven. And you know, I've talked to people, I saw, are you a Christian? They said, look. And I said, what? They said, I'm a Christian. Look. I looked down, I said, look at what? And they said, look. And then they go, don't you see the cross around my neck? I'm a Christian because I got a cross around my neck. I'm a Christian because I go to church. That don't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you got a cross around your neck or got cross in your earrings or that doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is Christ-like. I remember an old deacon one time was working over in Washington, D.C., and we was having a building built for the roofing company, and I was in charge of that. And this old deacon, he was talking to me about the Lord. He's always talking about God and everything. And I thought, man, he had a bunch of workers with him, and I noticed the workers standing there looking at him like, looking at him while he was talking to me. He was talking about the Lord. And then I thought, what's the matter with them guys? That man's a Christian. He loves God. Look at that. Maybe they just despise him because he's a Christian. So one day I came up on the job. I mean, it was that they were building a garage for me on the company's property. And I remember I came up on the job. He was out there cussing them boys out. And I walked up and I said, I went like this. I stopped and I said, hey, that ain't no Christian way to talk. Amen. Right. And no wonder those guys didn't want to hear what he had to say. Because he wasn't a real Christian. Now, can a person slip up? Yeah. Can a person mess up? But if you're slipping up 10 times a day, God have mercy. Amen. If you're slipping up and saying, the devil made me do it. You Flip Wilson. How many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? Flip, that was funny. He used to be on the television. He had a comedy show. And every time something happened, he goes, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do nothing. Your flesh did something. You got three enemies. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil. And a lot of people want to blame the devil for something. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and you say, well, the devil made me do it. And the devil steps up and says, I didn't have nothing to do with that. Yeah. That was all you, baby. And some of y'all, you want to blame the devil. The devil will say, hey, it's all you. I want to be a real Christian in 2019. You said, where's that word? Where's it first found? You know where it's first found? It's found by the way people lived, the way they acted, and the way they suffered. Yeah. Yeah. That word Christian meant a lot. And when a lot of people take that word Christian and flip it around, and they go up there and twiddle their beads and make the sign of the cross and all that stuff, they think they're Christians because of that, or because they belong to a certain religion. Yeah. They think they're a Christian. That's not make you a Christian. A Christian is somebody been born into God's family. They're God's child, and they resemble, trying to resemble Jesus Christ in their life. And they'll do what needs to be done for the Lord. I'm sick and tired of seeing people say, I'm a Christian. You go down south, we got down there going to Bible school, everybody's a Christian. Everybody's saved. But man, you see the bars full. You would think everybody that said they're saved, I mean, the bars would shut down.
Amen.
And man, there wouldn't be no drugs on the street and all that stuff. But you go down, all these people that say they're Christians, they're in the bars on Saturday night. I mean, they're smoking dope and they're smoking crack and they're doing all that stuff and they say they're Christians. They're not Christians.
Right. Amen.
A Christian is Christ-like.
Amen.
Would you, can you imagine Jesus sitting at the bar saying, yeah, man, this has been a rough time for me, man. I mean, you know, the world's turned their back on me. And, you know, I tell you what, I'm just trying to get through this life, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? God have mercy.
Amen.
People talk about Christian. I mean, a Christian, like I said this morning, a Christian will have victories in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
So you're going through some hard times? I know the hard times, but you still should have some victories. I can look back and see all the victories God's given us. And even I want more victories. I'm not satisfied with the past.
Amen.
I want some more in the future.
Yeah.
Look at Acts chapter 11. The Bible says this. It says in verse 21, look at here. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Man, if God's hand's with you, brother.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about the Lord's hand's not shortened that he cannot say. The Lord's hand. Can you imagine? When we say, do you have the hand of God on you? Or that person got the hand of God on them. I was just came in here this morning, and Jacob had one of the old CDs from the church services we've had, and Danny Hall was singing, and Sambo, I called her Sambo, and her name was Samantha. I always called her Sambo, and she sang, and she could sing, and I said, man, she had a touch of God. She had the hand of God on her. Now, I'd like to be able to say, people in this room, you got the hand of God on you.
Amen.
I can't say that about everybody. Matt, you got the hand of God on you? And look at this. Verse 21, it says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned on the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And it says, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God. You say, can you see the grace of God? Yes, you can. They seen it. They seen people changed. They seen the grace of God working in people's lives. You can see the grace of God in people's lives. It says when they came and seen the grace of God, man, people ought to see it. They ought to see in your life the grace of God in your life. And the Bible says this. It says, was glad and exhorted them all and with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. I mean cleave to God. Get close as you can to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. I mean, man, that old time religion, we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the Holy Ghost in your life. We're not talking about charismatic falling down on the floor, blah, 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 and, you know, acting like an idiot, like flopping around like a dead fish or a live fish on the out of water. But we're not talking about that. You're talking about having the Holy Ghost in you, to have wisdom, what to say, how to help people. And man, looking at people, and instead of just thinking, if you got the Holy Ghost inside you and the Holy Ghost is evident in your life, you're not thinking about yourself all the time. Amen. You know, most Christians or so-called Christians, all they do is think about themselves. You're stuck on stupid. Amen. You're thinking about you, you, you. You think all that matters in the world is you. Amen. You say, well, man, my life, nobody's going to care for me. Oh, yeah, the Lord cares for you. Yes, right. The Lord loves you. The Lord's going to help you. He'll guide you, but all you can do is think about you, and you're stuck on stupid. And the Bible says, and a good man, talking about Barnabas, he says, full of Holy Ghost and of faith, much people was added unto the Lord. Let me ask you something. With your life, can people get saved? Can people looking at you and be added unto the Lord by looking in your life, saying that's a real Christian? I watched them go through troubles. I watched them go through trials. I watched them suffer things, and they still go on and still trust God. Can they look at you and say, man, that guy is something else. That girl is something else. She loved the Lord. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him on to Antioch. Notice Antioch, the Bible talks about Jerusalem and then Samaria. And it talks about, you know, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. But see, the Bible says that they were in Antioch. The Christians were in Antioch. Why? Jerusalem, the Lord told them to go out into all the world. And what happened was the disciples stayed in Jerusalem. And they stayed there in Jerusalem, and persecution came. So a lot of Christian people are getting saved in Antioch. Where's Antioch? Antioch is in Assyria. Antioch, it's there today. Antioch in Assyria. And the Christians were there. You said, man, that was among Muslim land, but people getting saved right and left. Look at this. This is the early church now. The Bible says this, and a good man full of the Holy Ghost, verse 26, and he had found him. He brought him on Antioch, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and disciples were disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they said, man, these people are Christians. That's where they got their name, because the way they lived, the way they acted, they were called Christians. Could anybody pick you out in a crowd? Could they pick you out the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk? They were first called Christians in Antioch. The whole world says, man, look at that. These people were followers of Jesus Christ. And you can tell they were followers of Jesus Christ. He went out doing good, healing people, I mean, helping people, doing all that. And a lot of do-gooders think they're Christians because they do good.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to be saved.
That's right.
And then be a Christian and live for God. The word Christian found three times in your Bible. And right here in this text, and Paul's dealing with King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He says, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what King Agrippa said. And then it also says in 1 Peter chapter 4, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If you're suffering as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Because of you going through what you're going through, because of the name of Christ, don't be ashamed of it. Amen? I mean, man, just trust the Lord. We went through troubles and trials at pastoring the church. Our house burned down. Our church, you know, we lived here in the church building for about 5 months and flooded and all kinds of stuff we went through. And I thought, man, God, what's going on? What's happening? I mean, I realize you get down sometimes, but I still had the joy of the Holy Ghost inside me, but I was down. And man, Bible says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I didn't have to be ashamed because I was trying to do what's right. I wasn't suffering like I used to suffer for doing wrong and living like hell. I'm going to say this, number one, take your Bible. Look with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, this old message I got. I pulled it out this morning and looking at it, and I prayed about it, and I believe this is what God wanted me to preach. Matthew chapter 7, and the Christian, it should be known for some things. You should be known because the Bible says the man was full of the Holy Ghost. He had faith. You should be known for some things. And I tell you this, how you know a real Christian is by their fruit. What kind of fruit do you have? Jesus Christ is a fruit inspector. And folks, you can fool me. You can fool the church. You can tell everybody what you're doing, this and that, but Jesus Christ is a fruit inspector. He'll come by your tree, and the Bible talks about that fig tree. He walked by and he cursed it because it had no fruit on it. And it says it wasn't in season. And then the Bible says in the New Testament that Christians are supposed to be in season and out of season, bearing fruit, whether you're on fire or whether you're not. You're supposed to be bearing fruit. So Jesus Christ is a fruit inspector. They said, well, you got to manufacture, you know, you got to work it up and all that stuff. No, you don't even got to do that. You just live the Christian life the way you're supposed to live it. It bears fruit. It bears fruit with your wife. It bears fruit with your children. It bears fruit with your husband if you're living a Christian life. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 16. He says, and ye shall know them by their what? Fruits. Not talking about California fruits, the fruity tooties. I'm not talking about that. He says, by their fruits. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So for every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And every but a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. So if you got evilness always around you, then you got a bad fruit. And I would be concerned about that. I would be concerned about the kind of fruit that I'm bearing. And I realize this, you can make a mess, but God can straighten it out. If you're saved, the Bible talks about you being a tree, because the Bible says when the Lord healed a blind man, he spit on the ground and he spit on the ground, made mud, and put it in his eyes. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. Your life is like a tree, and it's going to bear off, and then it's going to take some time. Remember the Lord came by and said that tree hadn't bear no fruit. He said, cut it down. Get rid of it. If you don't bear fruit, get rid of it. And he said, Lord, the gardener said, Lord, just give me another year. Give me another year. Here we are, 2019. Maybe God's giving this another year. Amen. He's giving you. Amen. Giving you another year. He said, let me dung it. Dung it. You know what dung is?
Yeah.
Fertilizer. You know where the fertilizers come from? Poo. It comes from poo. And he says, let me dung it, and maybe if it doesn't bring forth no fruit this year, I'll cut it down. The Lord is a fruit inspector.
Right.
See, people worry about, oh, I ain't going to do it because so-and-so says I had to do it. Oh, I ain't going to do it because so-and-so. You're stupid.
Man. Right.
If you think because you don't like somebody and they said to do something that they're wrong about being a Christian and about way of bearing fruit, then you're stupid.
Man.
See, I don't like you say that. Why? Well, that's stupidity. Man, I want to bear fruit.
Amen.
A Christian ought to bear fruit.
Amen.
Would you all say amen to that?
Amen.
You ought to bear fruit. And then verse 18, he says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Woo. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if you're a corrupt tree, you need to change something in your life.
Amen.
You need to get saved. If you're a corrupt tree, if God saved you, he's given you his name. You have his name.
Amen.
You bear his name. And he says, you're my tree. I can do what I want with my tree. But I tell you what, you never cut down a tree that's bearing fruit. We got a pear tree out here. Man, that thing has so much fruit. It's on the ground. The bees come down by the playground in the summertime. And I've said to a couple of people, I said, I'm cutting that thing down. And I've had people, Miss Judy's one of them. Miss Judy said, preacher, don't cut it down. It bears fruit. Don't cut it down. She said, I know it bears more fruit than we can even eat. Wouldn't that be something if you bore fruit? And I said, well, maybe I can replant it somewhere. I want to take the backhoe and go dig that thing out and take it somewhere else and put it in. But you don't never, in the Bible tells the children of Israel when they came into the promised land, he said, every tree you can cut down, use it for houses, you can use it for all this other stuff, but a tree that bears fruit, that's for your living. God says, are you bearing fruit? For your living. You have grounds to pray on. God, I'm trying to do right. Take your Bible, look at this. 2 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Check this out. See, what kind of fruit, man? I mean, there's all kinds of fruit. And I love my wife every morning, she takes this blender and she puts bananas and grapes and all that stuff in this thing. If my wife wanted to get rid of me, all she'd do is put a little rat poison in there and mix it up and I drink it. And she takes this thing and makes all this fruit and mixes it up and I just drink it. And I try to drink it straight down. I just drink it straight down. Grapes, all that stuff. And man, that gives me so much energy. Fruit gives you energy. Yep. You know what fruit bearing does to a church? Gives it energy. You know what fruit bearing does to a home? Gives you energy. Fruit bearing gives me energy. Makes me want more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. He said, or back up to verse 6. He said, this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Talking about Christian. Talking about giving. Talking about not just money, giving yourself. Amen. See, a lot of times people see that it's all about money. No, it ain't all about money. It's about you. I say this, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to the purpose in his heart. God says, you purpose in your heart. Roe Dudley, I led him to the Lord here. He lived with Brother Squeaky. And Roe went wild. Amen. He went wild after fruit. He went wild. And I showed him how to pass out tracts witnessing. I went to his grandmother's funeral and went in there and started passing out tracts. Ken was there. His sister was there. And he said he hated my guts for being in there passing. I just wanted fruit. Roe wanted to see his family saved. And guess what? You have to step out. You're going to do that. Amen. And man, Roe got saved. And man, every time I turned around, Roe was bringing people to church. They were getting saved. And people coming, you know, he said, where are they? Well, they're saved. And, you know, some of them fell away by the wayside. Now this young man right here, stand up, Brent. Stand up, Brent. This young man right here. He's fruit of Brother Roe. Yep. He led Roe to the Lord. So that's my grandson in the Lord. Yeah. Roe led him to the Lord. Amen. That's my grandson. That's fruit. His wife next to her, she's fruit. Did Roe lead you to the Lord or you got saved on your own? A different church. But she got saved and she married Brent. You know what? That's fruit right there. Amen. God's looking for fruit. Amen. 2019, God's looking for fruit. Look at this. He says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Some people grudge. I ain't giving no money at church. I ain't going to do that. My father used to say, don't give your money to that church down there. They got plenty of money. Yeah, we could do a lot more if you gave. Right. Yeah. We got the missionaries on the board back. We could take on more. Miss Sheila gave me a report. We got 56 missionaries right now. I think we just took on 57. You know what we got to have per month for missions? $3,300 for missions. Just for missions. Amen. Every month. And that's why I say you need to come to church on Wednesday night. Well, Wednesday night, everything goes on the plate. It's missions. And you see, what is that? That's fruit. Amen. On your account. So I can't afford it. I can't afford not to give. Amen. I can't afford not to give. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'm not after your money. I told you that. You know me. I don't go after your money. And we're not trying to build us a palace. We're not trying to do that. We're just trying to get some people saved, trying to get people living for God, trying to do what's right. And some of y'all, man, some people buck against it, fight against it. I want to see people say, brother, how long you been saved? Stand up in the back right next to Eric. Brother, your first name, I forgot. Anthony, how long you been saved now? October 14th this year. Last year. You came here last year. So you've been saved a year. There's some fruit. Anthony's in church. See, God's looking for fruit. You know, a lot of churches don't even care about that. Amen. All they care about is getting money, getting people in there, getting money, but they don't care about no fruit. Amen. They don't support missionaries. That's right. They don't care about little children going to hell. Children don't go to hell, but if they accountability age, but we go after the kids. Why? Because they're going to grow up. It says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. See that thing? He said, if you'll go out and you give, he said, he'll make all grace abound towards you. Whatever it is that you're doing for him, he said, I'll take care of that. I'll make all grace abound towards you. I'll provide for you. You see that? Most people say, well, I just can't afford to give. You're stupid when it comes to that. Because God said, I'll make all grace. You'll never experience the blessings of God. You never get to the place where you know God's in control and you're not. God takes care of it. I always say, you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency, look at this, in all things may abound to every good work. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now that he ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and supply it, your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God said, you keep doing what you're supposed to do, and I'll take care of you. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you take care of God's business, he'll bankrupt heaven to take care of you. But God ain't going to go bankrupt. Guarantee it. Now, a new Christian life, you ought to be growing. You ought to be getting to the place where you say, I want to see some fruit in my life. I want to know that God's real. God wants you to be real. He wants real Christians, not just part-time, not just a quarter of the time, not just saying mouth service. You know what Jesus said? He said, with their mouths they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. Your mouth, you might confess, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I tell you what, wouldn't know by your action. Wouldn't know what you said. Amen. The way you live. Now I realize you got to grow. When I first got saved, I had to grow. And that's why Brother Jesse was up here teaching Sunday school. He said at one point when he went through 15 times of his Bible, I don't know how many times he's been through his Bible now, but he's been through his Bible quite a few times. And he's blind. How many times you been through your Bible? The Bible talks about being filled with the fruit of righteousness, Philippians chapter 1. And the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know what? Some people walk around angry, always angry. You can tell they don't have the fruit of Spirit. If you're angry all the time, you think somebody owes you something, and I'm going to tell you something, nobody in this room owes you anything. God don't even owe you nothing. But thank God he does give it to us. God doesn't owe me a thing. God doesn't owe you a thing. Some people, the millennials, they think everybody owes them something. Our father taught me, go work. Amen. You want something, you better work. Amen. You want to see fruit in your life, you better work. Amen. It's a work, man. You got to work at it. You don't sit around and do nothing. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Man, there's three of them inward. Love, joy, and peace. Three of them upward. Three of them outward. Those nine fruits of the Spirit. You bearing any fruit? You have any fruit in your life? Always mad at everybody, trying to stir up stuff? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. God does. You know what? It makes no difference. I mean, I like people to like me. I like people to love me. I like that. I mean, we all have that. Somebody pat you on the back every once in a while. You ought to have that. But I got to a place, I don't care if anybody does. Amen. Long as he does. Amen. Long as he does, I'm all right. Hey, man, you got any fruit in your life? The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You don't practice fruit. You don't practice it. You bear it. Amen. You bear fruit. Are you bearing any fruit? Are you praying for any fruit this year? You ask God, give you somebody. Somebody get saved. You don't practice it. You bear it. The Holy goes to God. You know what the Bible says? Take your Bible, look at Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I love this. My grandson just learning this. And I think everybody ought to learn it. You ought to memorize it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate. Check this out. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, a tree planted by the rivers of water will never die. Why? Because them roots will find that moisture. It'll find that water, that nurture. It'll find the nourishment for that tree. Look at this. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever he does is going to prosper. Don't you want to be that 2019, bearing fruit? It says, the ungodly are not so. You ever notice some people just is like a black cloud hanging over them, storming in their life all the time, all the time. There's no joy. There's no fruit. There's no nothing. There's always, woe is me, woe this, woe that. And they always got something bad going on in their life. That was my family before we were saved. My family, my brother was killed. I mean, we was going to jail, just drinking, carrying on. It was always bad stuff happening. People dying, getting killed. My brother got killed. He says, the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Let me ask you something. You make up your mind, you're going to have some fruit this year? You read your Bible? You know a real Christian by what he feeds on. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread. You can tell a Christian by what they feed on.
You're right,
if all you talk about is movies, all you talk about is games,
Amen.
All you talk about is sports.
Amen.
That's all you talk about. I like talking about sports. I like talking about different things. But I tell you what, I like to find out about things so I know what they're talking about. But I'm going to tell you something. If that's all you feed on, you ain't a real Christian. Your appetite's wrong. You got an appetite for the world, man. You know what Jesus said? If a man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you got an appetite to go out there in the world, I mean, the first thing after I got saved, the devil said, man, you done messed yourself up. Boy, you like the women, you like the drugs, you like this, you like that. And he's brought this stuff to my mind right after I got saved. And I thought, oh, my God, what did I do? But man, my appetite changed. My appetite for things changed. I started seeing, I remember how that stuff ruined people, how it destroyed people, how it ruined their lives.
Amen.
And man, I said, I don't want no more part of that mess. I started getting a different appetite. I told my wife, I said, you're going to teach me how to read. I want to read. I want to read God's word.
Amen.
I tell guys sitting here, I said, if you got time sitting over here, you ought to be reading the Word of God to grow. If you got home at time, you're not at work, read your Bible.
Amen.
Spend some time feeding on the Word of God. Man, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Problem with you feeding at the wrong trough, man. You're feeding at a hog trough when you could be feeding at sitting on the chair at the king's table. Feeding at the hog trough. Man shall not live by. You know, the Bible talks about milk, vegetables, and meat is in the Bible. Milk, vegetables, and meat. That's what we got right here. It's got milk in it. You say, well, I can't read the Bible. I don't understand it. Well, you pray. You say, Lord, I don't understand the thing. So you read till you can get a little milk. And when I tell people when they get saved, read the book of John. The John's got a lot of milk in it, but it's got some meat in it. And I said, read the book of John. Because why? Every baby. Now, there's, your wife? She's downstairs with the baby. They got a little baby. And I said, you can't take that little baby. If I took that little baby and said, hey, come on, let me hold this little baby up. And the baby's expecting milk. And I said, here, I got a nice steak here for you, boy. Here, stuff that in there. And I choke him to death. Some child of God, you get saved, you can't eat a steak. Well, I'm talking about you read the Bible. You say, I don't understand the stupid thing. Like Jesse said, you go through Leviticus and you think, what in the world he put all that in there for? Why? You know what that is? That's meat.
Yep.
And the Bible's got vegetables in it. You know what you do with a baby? I mean, my son Samson, man, he was eating, 6 months old, he was eating whole food. 6 months old. That boy was hungry all the time. And you know what Roe reminded me of? Roe was, he would be in my office living because, you know, Roe had a problem with women. Roe didn't like women. His mother left him when he was a child. He didn't like to listen to no woman telling him what to do. And my wife was ready to punch him in the mouth and beat the snot out of him. And I had Miss Peggy was doing about to do the same thing. And other women, Miss Sheila, she was about ready to kill Roe because Roe wouldn't listen to no woman. He said, ain't no woman tell me what to do. So I said, boy, you're stupid, man. You better learn, bro. You better learn. As you ever get married, she's going to tell you what to do or you're going to be divorced. So, bro, I had to put him in my office. Now, listen now. I put him in my office for 3 months. He lived in my office. And I'd feed him under the door. I would bring plates of food up to him. And he'd be in there. I've got a library there. He devoured my library. He devoured it. He read it, everything. I come in, he'd be reading some. He'd be reading this, reading that. He started growing. He got to the point, man, he said, all I'm going to do is serve the Lord. You know what God did? God's blessed him. You know, a baby gets saved, it's got milk, you got vegetables, you got meat. You got to take them vegetables, grind them up, and let them eat it. God called me as a pastor. He said to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? What is the these? The fish. He said, you love me more than this? Simon said, Lord, you know I love you. Simon Peter wasn't no sissy, folks. That guy was commercial fisherman. And he, matter of fact, he tried to take the ear off the high priest. He did take the ear off the high priest's servant. He was ready to fight. I mean, he had red blood in him like anybody else. He was ready to fight. When they came out after Jesus Christ, he was ready to fight. And Jesus said, you love me? He said, feed my sheep. You know what God commands preachers to do? He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. You don't beat the sheep. You don't skin the sheep.
Right.
You feed them. Mm-hmm. You say, well, they get fat and happy. Well, then it's time you got to skin them. Maybe even eat them. No. But the Lord said, you love me? Feed my sheep.
Amen.
God calls preachers to feed the sheep. And man, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, I'll tell you something else. I've got to close. I got to hurry up. How you know you're saved? How you know you're a real Christian? You can tell by the fruit. You can tell by what they read, what they hear, and what they see.
Amen.
I've been around Christians, and they say they're saved, and they are, but they have a problem with their mouth. They have a problem with cussing. If you got a problem with cussing, it comes, bad words come out of your mouth from the past. I had to pray about that. I said, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to talk like that.
Amen.
That Bible says blessings and cursings should not come out of the same mouth.
Right.
If God saved you, he gave you a mouth to bring forth the glory and to talk about the goodness of God and tell people about how to get saved and encourage the saints. God's giving you a mouth, not to sit around and go blankety blank, blankety blank, blankety blank. That's what Simon Peter started when he was beside the fire.
Amen.
He started cursing.
Right.
If God saved you, ask God to help you clean your mouth up. You can tell by what people read, what they hear, what they see. Are you a real Christian? Do you want to be? Some people say, I don't care. I don't care. As long as I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, you'll care one day.
Amen.
You will care. Most people spend most of their time eating out of garbage cans. You know what they always say? You can't hang around with dogs and not pick up fleas.
Amen.
You hang around. That's what happened to Nathan here. I want Nathan back in church. I've been praying for Nathan. Nathan started getting, he got a phone, and then the phone. He started calling his friends up, and they say, come on, man. Come on over to the house, man. Remember that we used to do this? We used to party. I know how it works. I know how it does. You think, well, I'm going to go over and talk to him about Jesus. Before long, they'll have you right back in the same hog pen that God got you out of. You'll be right back in the same hog pen. And you'll think, how in the world did I get here? Bad choices. Bad decisions. You end up in the same hog pen. And you say, well, some people say, well, that's your own stupidity. Yeah, it is. God can straighten it out if you'll let him. You can get out of that mess. How you know a real Christian? I want to be a real Christian. What he fellowships with. You know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You fellowship with the Lord. Do you have a devotion with the Lord? Do you spend a daily time with Jesus Christ? And I'm going to tell you something. For you to be a real Christian in 2019, you better have a daily time that you spend with God. Jesus said that I may know them and they have eternal life. The Lord wants to know you. He knows you, but he wants you to know him and get to be known. I mean, a real Christian is by who they fellowship with. I want to be fellowship with the Lord. The Bible tells us when Christians come together, it says, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a man or some is. We come together, we get together. You ought to be shaking people's hands, saying, hey, brother, how you doing? I'm praying for you. Encouraging one. I've seen some people used to go around and encourage people, and they don't do it no more. I watch things. I watch it. And then I watch your life. And I watch the steps and the choices you make, and you start the downward spiral. You say, can you get it right? You got to come to yourself like the prodigal son said, man, that's wrong.
Amen.
I got to get things right and get back to God. But what happens is somebody will point out something to you. Say, hey, man, you ain't doing what you used to do. You get, who does he think he is telling me what to do? The devil will use that if you're not careful. He'll use that because somebody's concerned about you. He'll use that and get you out of church, get you out of your Bible. And you say, all them Christians, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, a bunch of hypocrites. We have people say, oh, they're so-and-so good to your church. And we run into that all the time. So-and-so, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, you can come on. One more ain't going to hurt. One more. Don't be a hypocrite in 2019.
Amen.
How you know a real Christian? By what he forsakes. I knew when I got saved, after I kept falling down on my face, some people learn quicker than others. And I hope you learn quick in 2019. You get around certain people, you're going to fall flat on your face. You need to stay away from them. We always, in any kind of drug rehab, any kind of program, they always tell you, change your phone number, get rid of your phone, change friends.
Amen.
Have new associates.
Yep.
Positive. They always say positive people in your life. You need positive people. You need to have some people. If you want to be a real Christian, you need to forsake some things. You need to get away from people. You need to get away from some things that you're looking at, some things that you're doing. I mean, get away from that mess. I got three more points, and I'll give it to you. I'll just give them to you. How you know a real Christian? The way he forgives. You hold a grudge? How you know a real Christian? He said, well, the Lord don't want me to forgive them for what they did to me. Well, the Lord forgave you, didn't he? And he forgives you on a daily basis, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What you do to him. How you know a real Christian is the way he forgives. You know, some people, they just glory in holding a grudge. It's woe is me. They did me wrong. I was done wrong. Look at me. Oh, why me? Why me, Lord? You know a real Christian by the way he forgives. My brother didn't forgive my dad. He didn't want to forgive my dad. My dad was a hard man, abusive man. At the grave, at his bedside in the hospital, he was in a coma. And I remember standing there. I didn't have to ask my dad to forgive me. And he didn't have to ask forgiveness to me. I love my dad. My brother went to Vietnam because he hated my father. He was mad at my father. My brother got into everything he could in Vietnam, and he was killing. He was a good killer. Y'all have seen the guy that was with him in Vietnam came here. He said at my house, he said, your brother did a lot of atrocities in Vietnam. He said, when I mentioned that, it was your brother. You know why? Because of hatred in his heart. Didn't know how to forgive. You don't forgive, you'll be the same way. How you know a real Christian? By who he fears. That's self-explanatory. Fear of the Lord, beginning wisdom. Fear of the Lord, getting knowledge. Fear of the Lord, getting understanding. Fear of man bringeth a snare. You fear man more than you fear God. You fear about what people think of you more than you fear what God thinks of you.
Amen.
You want to be a real Christian in 2019? Get your act together.
Yeah.
Forgive people. Forsake some things. Get away from some people. Get in your Bible. ask God to give you some fruit. Ask God to give you some fruit. Sometimes it can be fruit that you can see. Sometimes it's fruit you can't see. And you probably won't know till you get to heaven. You probably, some of the fruit that we put money in the plate, send for missionaries around the world, there are some things we'll never see what God's done through our giving. But be a real Christian. Nobody likes a phony. Everybody wants to run a phony down. The world tries to get you to drink, to party, do all that stuff so they can mock you. They'll mock you behind your back. Don't you want to be a real Christian? Heads bowed and eyes closed.